My sermon is based on the gospel reading for today, Matthew 21, the parable of the two sons. This is a story about a father, his two sons, and if they will obey. The concept of obeying our parents has drastically changed since I have been a child. When I was at school and I got punished twice, once at school, and then when I got home, because the teacher was always right. When you were a child, did you obey all the time? Or were there times where you said, you know, I really don't want to do that? But afterward, you decided against it. No, I better obey my father. You see, it is that word afterward that I want to focus on today. Today, I will ask you what you will do afterward after you hear the word of God. So, let's get into it, into this parable. Here we find two different kind of afterwards. One afterward is good. The other afterward is not so good. Starting at verse 28, it reads, Jesus said, a man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go to work today in the vineyard. And he answered, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it, and he went. The man came to the second son and said the same thing. And he answered, I will, sir, but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, the first. Does that story remind you of your childhood? For many of us, yes, this is the fourth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. But this commandment is so difficult for some of us, especially when you are a child and your father is telling you what to do. And part of the problem is that children are so hard to talk to. They seem to talk in a different language sometimes. It's somewhere between a rap and a low mumble, or they don't talk at all. A father once tried to talk to his son who was just off to college, and his father said, son, how are things going? Good. And your dormitory life? Good. And your studies? Good. Have you decided on a major yet? Communication. Okay. This is how most parents and their children talk to each other. So it was for the two sons in Jesus' story today. Now, personally, I don't think much of either son. Neither of these two sons did what he said he was going to do. In our story today, the first son says, hey, pops! I'm a busy guy, you know. I had practice this morning. I worked this afternoon. I got a hot date tonight. This son is defiant. He's obstinate. He's even rude. His reply to his father is, I'm going to do whatever I want. And you know what? I don't even care because I don't want to. This is outrageous behavior. The first son deserves the discipline of his father. But then the first son has a change of heart. Afterward, he knew that he was being difficult. He knew that he was being outrageous. And his father knew it as well. And so the first son repents. And he went out to the field. But he did it afterward. Now let's take the second son. And the second son says, sure, Dad. Not a problem. I'll get right on it. Let me just finish this game on Xbox and I'll be right there out in the fields. But he doesn't do it, does he? Many of us, when we were younger, we would tell our parents something really lame just so we keep them from pestering us. Sure, Mom, I can do that. But in reality, you had no intention of ever doing it. The second son looks good on the outside, but on the inside, not so good. So now Jesus asks the Pharisees to answer the questions. Which of the two sons did the will of his father? And the Pharisees answers, it's the first son. The son who, even though he was outwardly rebellious, afterward he regretted it. And then he repented and changed his mind. And he was saying to the Pharisees that they had not accepted John the Baptist. Afterward, they could have repented and believed him, but they refused to repent. And remember, these are the same super religious people who held everyone else to impossible standards, but not themselves. These religious leaders were like the second son who said that he would go, but in the end, he did not go. They talked the talk, but they couldn't walk the walk. Jesus did not spend a lot of time with these phonies. Instead, he spent his time with sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes. He spent his time with those who were like the first son, openly against the Father. But afterward, they changed their way. Afterward, they repented from their rebellion. So now Jesus gives them the big punchline. And Jesus says, "Truly I say to you that the tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. For John the Baptist came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him. And you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse afterward so as to believe him." And there's that word again. They never had the afterward moment. How about you? Have you had your afterward moment, that moment of decision? Because there are so many of us that are caught up in our own web of sinfulness, addiction, depression. Are you still in rebellion to God? If so, then let today be your afterward moment. Today is a day to change, and let God change your heart. For Scripture tells us, quote, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. The new has come." Let your afterward come forward, for the Holy Spirit has finally come to rescue you. But now let's talk about the rest of you. Here you are in church, or you're watching this from home. You've taken time out of your busy day to at least tune in or be here in church. However, are some of us like the second son? Because we are quick to say, "Yes, Lord," but slow to go. And many of us have this down to a science. In a minute, these moments can become a lifetime. And soon we find out that our afterward is like the Pharisees, those religious leaders. Your afterward is now. Do not delay any longer what the Lord is calling you to do. Or maybe you are caught in a rut. I understand that. I've been there. Yes, you are here in church, but some of us are just kind of stuck. Someone had been looking for some kind of bizarre road signs, and they found a rather interesting sign that was alongside a very muddy and deeply rutted road. The sign said, "Choose your rut. You will be in it for the next 16 miles. For many of us, our human experience with God can be like that deeply rutted road. And we get into that rut, and we can't get out, and we don't know how, and we need help. Or maybe your situation is deeper than just a rut. Maybe you have fallen into a deep ravine. I know how that feels, literally. Many of you know that I had an accident a few months ago. We were hiking at Starved Rock. I slipped and fell into a deep ravine. It was about a 20-foot drop. And on the way down, I dislocated my shoulder. I was in a lot of pain. And there I was at the bottom of this ravine, standing in 5 feet of water, trying to get out of that ravine. I tried it myself, and I couldn't do it. It was extremely steep and wet, and with only one arm, I could not do it by myself. And after about 15 minutes of frantically trying to get out of there, I had a terrible thought. And I was waiting for the Channel 7 helicopter right above me with cameras rolling. And I would be on the 5 o'clock news. That's what I was thinking. Hey, look at the dumbest pastor this side of the Mississippi River. I wonder what church he belongs to. And finally, three or four very strong men did a daisy chain, a human daisy chain, and they pulled me out of that ravine. I know that sickening feeling of being in that ravine, of being not able to get out by yourself. I was there. You need help. And when that happens to you, Jesus is there. And Jesus reaches down into that deep ravine and he pulls you out of that deep ravine. Jesus meets you right in that very deep chasm of your life. And then he sends you into a direction that you never dreamed was even possible. Has he been working on you lately? Maybe there is something that you've been thinking about doing. However, you just don't have the courage to pull that switch. Or maybe you have made your decision, whatever it is, and now it's time to put it into action. I'll be right there, Lord. I just have a few things here to finish up. I pray that today is your afterward moment. And I realize that this is a troubling parable. I get it. It pushes us. We don't like to be pushed. And both of the sons in this parable felt that they were being pushed. And you know, it troubles me that there were only two sons in this story. Why couldn't there be a third son who did exactly like his father said? And this was troubling me last week when I was writing this sermon. And then afterward, it became very clear to me. There was a third son. He's the person who is telling this story. This was the only begotten son, the firstborn of all creation. This was Jesus himself. It was Jesus who promised his father that he would obey. And afterward, he did obey. It was Jesus himself who was ordered to go up to Golgotha, and he obeyed. He knew that he was sent there by his father for the purpose of dying for you and for me. His afterward became our salvation. It was Jesus himself who was sent into the world that whosoever believes in him should never perish but have eternal life. And afterward, he did obey. He came for the very first son who defied his father. He came for the second son, the hypocrite, who couldn't walk the walk. He came for you, the sinner, the unrighteous one. So what will you do with your afterward? You have heard the word of God. Where is your afterward? Will you be a hearer of the word, but not a doer? Let your afterward be an afterward of obedience. And I will now close this sermon with these words from King David, Psalm 73. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you receive me to glory. Amen.